No matter how many times we hear that song, it's very powerful, isn't it? And that's what it's all about. We talk about it's all about Jesus and the fact that He is alive and Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Whether it be Easter Sunday or not, doesn't matter. He's still alive. He's still risen from the dead. And because of that, everything is different. Everything changes because of Jesus. And if we've lost that feeling, that experience, that belief, may God recover that. That it is all about Jesus, and He makes everything different. And it's like going from black and white to 3D color. Our lives are totally different. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would convince others who are in the church or outside of the church that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. And because He lives, life's worth living again, because only because He lives. Well, I was just extra. I just got caught up in that song. Because today my task is actually to be, well, I'm still a setup guy because Pastor Rick finishes it again. He told us last week I was going to wrap it up. Oh, no, this is a three-part, not a two-part. So at least I'm not betting leadoff. I'm betting second. So anyway. You're on base. So again, stay tuned for next week for the rest of the story.
Yeah.
How did you work that out? What's that?
He worked it.
That's absolutely. It's planned that way. Right? Anyway, so I can't give away all of it because that would take away the thunder that Pastor Rick will have for next week. Don't want to do that. So
there's plenty of thunder.
Amen to that, prophet. Amen. Okay, so my theme is, and it's not the theme of the scripture, but the theme for my message, growing like, not a weed, but growing like a tree. Because the Bible talks about, compares our lives to trees. In fact, in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Not just 15 minutes a day. 15, but more than that. He meditates day and night. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." So the Bible, all through Scripture, talks about the believers being like mighty oaks of righteousness, cedars of Lebanon, which was a real good wood. And people would go to Lebanon for the forest there and chop down the trees. Very expensive wood. So there's all kinds of lists about how we are like trees throughout the Bible. And our lives are like the influence of the tree. Now, some of you have had some issues with trees the last few weeks with the storms, right, Daryl? You had some crashing down in your neighborhood, right? That's why you weren't here last Sunday, right? No power for like 23 hours. 23 hours, no power. That's no fun. And you were talking the week before, you were worried about those trees, what was going to happen with the storms, right? So this time of year, they start crashing down. I know they cut down one big tree right in front of my apartment that blocked the sun coming in the morning. Well, now I certainly see that sun blasting away. But I probably, they were concerned about some damage. So I guess that's a good thing. But I sure missed that tree. And speaking of trees, we had some issues with trees over here, right? I know Building and Grounds have had some issues. We had a lemon tree. What happened to the lemon tree? There's an illustration. It died, no fruit because of lack of water. But now we have an orange tree, right?
Correct.
So hopefully. Yeah, over there, I noticed that last week. Yeah. So trees can be an issue, right? Yes, if you trying to keep them watered. Are they getting enough water? Who's watering them? For a lifetime. Yes, they do. Well, and so do we. So we're going to talk about that, because in this dream that we're going to talk partially today about, and also next week, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about a tree. And I'm not going to go through the whole of the story that Kathy just read, but basically, King Nebuchadnezzar talks about this vision he saw while lying in his bed, and he looked, and the tree grew. A vision, by the way, is not literal, right? The visions in Revelation and Ezekiel and here in Daniel are not literal. They sometimes will exaggerate to point, to bring out a point, right? And it's not real. Because here it talks about the tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Now that's some kind of tree, right? But again, this is a vision. It's like as though this tree could reach the top of the sky and everybody could see that tree, because this is a comparison of Nebuchadnezzar's life and his influence in his kingdom. Because Pastor Rick talked about that. It was the mightiest of all kingdoms at that time, right? So it had that kind of influence. It was as though this tree was hit the top of the sky and everybody could see this tree. So again, it's a vision. And then notice this. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit abundant. And on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter. And the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. Now, that's some kind of tree, right? Everybody was feeding off this tree. Animals underneath it. Birds in it. People coming around it. Coming to it for fruit. For food. And even the leaves were beautiful. And that reminds me in the book of Revelation that talks about replacing the tree of life from the old Garden of Eden to the new tree of life in paradise in heaven, and that these trees in heaven would not only have fruit, but even the very leaves were for healing. So you could apply the leaves, there'd be healing to the leaves, there'd be fruit. So everything about that tree was productive and lively and bringing life and not death. So again, the illustration is of influence. And we'll talk about our lives. What kind of tree are we growing? And what happens in that process. But we'll get to that. But here we see the influence of Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody was feeding, getting help, and restoration, and help, and vigor, and shade. Think about the days of the Bible. Imagine living in our climate without air conditioning. I can't. It's gone 2 hours, and I'm crying out, complaining, where's my maintenance from the apartment? I needed my air conditioning fixed. 2 hours was enough. How did you handle that last week, Daryl? Just sat there. Oh boy. Sitting in the sweat, in the heat, no air conditioning, no power, wet rag. What a wonderful Sunday, right? Not? Sure. No, thank you. Well, you think about in the days of the Bible. They didn't have air conditioning ever. Didn't have fans unless you had a slave. Something like that. Or I don't know. But shade was very important. In fact, the Bible talks about that we are like, God is like a tree, and that David talked about under his right hand there was shade. Well, shade's a big deal. If you don't have air conditioning, you better find some shade, right? So, again, there's that influence of this tree that had such influence, and Nebuchadnezzar had that. But then it talks about the fact that there's a loud voice from heaven that said, cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit, let the animals flee from under it. Uh-oh, what's going on here? And it talks about that let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze remain in the ground in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, so seven times pass by for him. Uh-oh, something's going to change here. Is life always great and wonderful the way we want it to go? Does life go the way you want? There's a lot of unexpected turns, right?
Amen.
And changes. And we have to be ready for God to move us someplace else, do this, do that. We have our planner, and I kind of joke my planner. I don't know why I write in ink at work, because it changes all the time. I can't tell you how many no-shows I get from family sometimes. It drives me nuts. Or things change. I think I'm going to Mesa, end up going to Buckeye, whatever the case may be. I don't even know why I write in there anymore, because it changes all the time. Maybe I should write it in pencil, I suppose. But anyway, our lives are like in pencil. We think you've got an indelible ink. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. Right. God just laughs at all the plans we make, right? Because it's all up to Him, right? And the same here. Now, imagine if a tree could talk. Imagine you got the pruner coming, trimming down that fruit tree. He says, what are you doing? You're killing me. This hurts. Ow! Stop it. You're not helping me any. How's this going to make me productive and bring more fruit? But it does, right? As we prune trees, they become even more productive, you get more fruit, right? Or am I wrong? Okay. Alright, just make sure you're with me here. So, in the same way, what happens to our lives? John 15 talks about the fact that the pruner comes, and he trims away all the excess, so he'll become even more fruitful. And here in Nebuchadnezzar, here comes the gardeners, and here comes the chainsaw. I don't know why they do that, by the way. Well, I do know, because it's cooler. 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning, they decide to trim the bushes by. Don't have a tree anymore, but they got to trim the bushes 7 a.m. on a Saturday. Anyway, what can they do on a Sunday? I'm up anyway. Nobody else would probably like it, but anyway. God comes with the pruners in our lives. right? And he trims away and he chops away, and that's what happens to Nebuchadnezzar here. But what remains is a stump. One or what purpose that does. Or his head, and as more, again, as getting high in my kingdom, that's what we're talking about. But there would be a restoration. So number one, realize that God is God. Find the truth. So he's here, baby, give it a faith for Daniel, right? To say that boldly, but he was doing what God commanded him to do, right? There was a time where David was being very victorious, and everybody was singing his praises to the chagrin of his father-in-law, King Saul, was very jealous. But anyway, David was doing great until he started taking armies were out fighting. And David said, you know, we've been winning here. This is going great. I think I'll just lay back. So he's taking all this time off. We need time off. There comes a point where we take too much time off and become idle. Not a good thing, right? Not good. You got to keep busy, right? Well, David's not busy, and he starts looking at her bath, and he starts lusting after her, and then he starts planning to have her, has sex with her, as an accessory to getting her husband killed. This is King David, a man after God's own heart. See how far our flesh can go? All of us have that capability to do bad things, right? And he's getting away with it. He's the king. Who's going to confront the king? Well, Nathan's going to, because God tells Nathan, I want you to go over to the king and confront him with his sin. So Nathan goes, oh boy. Can you imagine he's going to the king? Have you ever had to tell somebody some real bad news, tough news, it's hard to say, and maybe they're an authority, and yet you've got to be the messenger they elect for us, be the one. Always gets to be the one, it seems like.
Every week.
And it always happens. They're like, why me, Lord? Again? Yes. Go. And he calls us to go. Where is he calling you to go? But anyway, that's another story. And Nathan goes, you know, there's a story, King David, and it's about this poor family, and they just had one little pet lamb. It became a pet from the family, and they loved it. They had a pet name for it, and they played with it, and it was the pride and joy of all the family. And then there's this rich guy. He had all kinds of sheep, all just hundreds of them. And he saw that family and that little lamb, and he went over to that little poor family, and he took their one lamb, and he took it home with him. And then David, showing his own guilt and his anger, said, that guy should be put to death. Wait a minute. Capital murder for stealing a pet? Come on, really? But he was so angry. And then Nathan looked at David and said, you are the man. And pointed the finger right at David. Whoa. And David, with a heart that came all of a sudden became softened, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And he repented, and he was forgiven. So he was confronted with his sin, and he too, and then this is the second R. First we realize that God is God. Second, we repent of our sin. There's a time for all of us to repent, and that's what this message is all about. Now, it's not just about Nebuchadnezzar. It's our lives. And sometimes God has to prune us down to the point we go, ow, that hurts. I need God. I need help. I can't do this on my own. And then God says, okay, now I can work with you. But this is the third R. Not just realizing that God is God and repenting of our sins, but the third R is restitution and restoration. Because the promise here is that you have that stump that's still there and the shoot that comes out. And on Isaiah, I believe, it talks about that the root of Jesse will come out of the stump that is the dead church of the Old Testament, of the kingdom of Israel, Judah, that was, especially Judah, with the divided kingdom. Out of that dead stump will come this tender little shoot, insignificant, in other words, a baby in a manger. How can this be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And out of that little tender shoot will become a new tree, a new kingdom of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will die on the cross, rise again from the dead, ascend to the right hand of the Father, and his kingdom will have no end. And upon him, the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. He's that tender shoot. So out of him will come this new kingdom. But also for us, has God chopped your life down? Maybe had you go through some things, right, Danny, that maybe didn't really like going through? Right? And for you too? And God yet, and you too? And all of us, not just those who have had those experiences, but all of us, we've been all chopped down. And sometimes we wonder, I remember me, will I ever become a pastor again? I said, no way, for throwing out my theology books. I'm not going to be a pastor again. after being loved and released and trying 42 different churches, and then here comes Amazing Grace with Pastor Rick. Whoa! Would you like to do Spanish? Not really. Would you like to go to the gym? Nah, I don't think so. And well, God says, yes, yes, you will. An inner city church, you're going from the suburbs of Ahwatukee to here. Okay, God, you say so, but keep my car safe, please. I would check my car to make sure it's still out there. And then what happens? It gets stolen in my apartment. Figure. Oh, yeah, yeah. But anyway, God has a sense of humor, but He has a plan for all of us, and there is a plan for restoration and restitution. We restore. There is hope. Even for this, I wouldn't give Nebuchadnezzar another chance. After all we've been hearing about this guy, but he's given another chance. But the warning was, until he acknowledges God, he's going to be walking around like an animal, and he's going to lose his mind. He's going to need a mental health counselor big time, because he's going to lose it completely. And Luther talks about the fact that we forget to thank God. He says, I believe that God has made me and all my members, that He's given me body, soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason and in my senses, and still preserves them. God preserves our bodies and our minds, right? Well, we forget that. We don't even thank God for that. Just assume it's all about us. See, well, it's all about me. It's my hard work, my education, my initiative, my ambition, my willpower. Is that where it comes from? Our help comes from the Lord. We have to just acknowledge God. Those seven seasons, and the seven seasons are actually 3.5 years, because they're in the Middle East, there's only 2 seasons, not 4 seasons. Sort of like here. Somebody said last night, hot and hotter, right? It's actually try to present plans. Later. Later, dude. Well, God says, okay, have it your way, and start chopping away until we finally get the call, the phone calls. Oh, Pastor, would you pray for me? Help me right now. I need help. Can you please? So that's about Nebuchadnezzar, but then also it's about us, that we have hope, we have restoration. If we just realize God's real, recognize, repent, and then realize that there's restoration. And you may be wondering, why am I wearing a football shirt with no football? Well, who's on the jersey? Who got inducted last night in the Hall of Fame, and who gave honor to Jesus Christ last night? Awesome. I had tears in my eyes flowing. Oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. What a witness. What? No, you didn't have to go there. Okay, that's fine. I lived in St. Louis, but the Rams weren't there when I was there, but I had a little affinity when they won the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner.
The Rams won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know, and I guess they won a Super Bowl. Yes, they did. We got this close. If that guy was out of bounds, but that's okay.
Hey,
was it home?
Right.
Anyway, I guess you got it. But what is neat, and I was reading this last night, I was watching the Hall of Fame, I watched a tape of it, is that I guess I didn't realize how many Christians were on the Rams team at that time. They were criticized in the press for having too many Christians and preferring and having a preference for Christians. Because you had Trent Green, who was the one that got hurt and was given credit last night. The only football player that Kurt Warner mentioned was Trent Green, because he got hurt and then Kurt Warner came into his notoriety. But Trent Green was like John the Baptist. He said, I must decrease, you must increase, and he was humble, and he was recognized last night. But Trent Green was a Christian. He spoke at a faith and family night at the Kansas City Chiefs stadium a couple years ago. So he was a Christian. Isaac Bruce became a pastor. And so you had all these Christians in your Rams. But anyway, last night, Kurt Warner gave a great witness to being a father of 7 kids, right? Being a faithful husband. And he talked about being ready for those moments in our lives, whether we're a Hall of Fame or famous or not, that God uses all of us and to be ready for those moments, because He can take us through affliction and all the adversity Kurt Warner went through. Right, Dorothy? You know the story very well. You've met him. And all that he's been through, but who did he give glory at the end? Again, it was Jesus. It wasn't Jerry Jones. That's all about my entrepreneur skills or all the swag and all this attitude and all this, that, and the other. No, it's all Jesus. He gave glory to God, and I praise God for that. And that's why I like sports, because they have Christians that use that platform for Jesus Christ and talk about the lessons of discipline and commitment and courage and working together as a team and not for self. That's why I like sports. But even more, that's why we love Jesus. And that was so awesome last night. So that's why I'm wearing this, even though it's a little warm today, because he gave glory and honor to Jesus. Now, what about your tree? How's your tree going? Do we need an arborist, a tree expert to come by and maybe have the pests and the insects, the bugs been bugging you and eating away at the tree like some of those beautiful pines? I remember one time we were out Camp Aloma and we saw these dying trees, the beetles, is it? The pine beetles, killing all these trees. Do we have the demons coming and killing us like that? Have we have a lack of water? I said, oh, we forgot to water the tree. Oh, no. Well, people start drifting away from Bible study and worship and fellowship, and then they wonder why the leaves are the leaves are falling off. Uh-oh. Oh, the fruit's drying up. Uh-oh, it's bending over. It's all brown. Where'd the green go? Oh, I guess we didn't fertilize it. We didn't water it. Imagine that. Well, that happens over time to all of us spiritually. And so may we use this text not just about Nebuchadnezzar, but our lives. That we're called to grow like a tree and have influence and have a purpose and be productive and abundant with fruit. And the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-faithfulness, self-control. What kind of fruit are we growing? And we want to be evergreen trees that continue to grow, continue to be productive, and not have seasons where we're there and we're not there. Be consistent, be faithful, be evergreen, right? Because years ago, the evergreen tree was used as an illustration for Christmas for being eternal, everlasting. There was the flag that had it said, appeal, what is it, appeal to heaven?
Appeal to heaven.
And many of them would have an evergreen tree on that because their only hope was pointing up to heaven who has everlasting life. So we look up to Him. We look up to Jesus like Kurt did last night. We look to the Lord all the time, right? And all we're going through because He alone has the answers. He is the life. He not only gives life, He is life. And He's the one that hung on a tree so that we would have eternal life forever and ever. And thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So come back next week for the end of this story. See what happens, all right? And thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.